أكون زين تذكر أنا myself. Are you plotting the coup d'etat now? You must win elections. you can't overthrow the governing party, Mkhalibi. And why are you still standing when I'm in the meeting?
Why am not?
Why are you still standing?
Hey, I'm tired. Hey.
Hey, same here. I mean, this is my fourth meeting since 8 o'clock this morning. I'm exhausted. My head is
still... Me too. 8 o'clock. Programming chat. 8. Yo. Painful. And we are not going to have a conference.
Yeah?
There's no conference period.
Yes, because we are given only a week break. I would like
you. Just to push. It's going to die. I'm so tired. I don't want to lie. These meetings are exhausting. At least when we are still young, we are going to share this meeting very well.
Yeah, no, we must finish before time, eh? It's only...
Yeah, today. Yesterday, only... I don't think of cows. It's like yesterday. You!
Hey, what's happening? No, hey. Sifunda is a CFA, man. We're learning every day.
Cows in the portfolio committee, Haibo.
No, that political party that brought this petition must take us serious now in future.
Of cows. We come to discuss cows. The cows that are not behaving. We must come and report the cows that are not behaving in the portfolio committee. Haibo. Where's Sherin? Must start. Unmute yourself, Peggy.
No, Kalok, why must I unmute myself when I'm busy with other things?
Where's Sherin? It's 6 o'clock.
It's 6 o'clock, colleagues. I don't want to assume that the yesterday status still remains. You might find that Mkhalipi has planned other issues in terms of sharing. So let's do things procedural. I see Sherin on the screen. Secretary, over to you. Let's procedure.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the meeting. The chairperson has made apology again. She won't be able to attend the meeting this evening. In the absence of the chairperson, we must elect an acting chairperson to proceed over the meeting as per Rule 159 of the National Assembly. So I'm calling for nominations for an acting chairperson for tonight's proceedings.
Yes, Sherin, I propose the name of Peggy. Khatebe with an H.
Yes, it's Khatebe, it's not Khat.
There's a nomination for...
I'm going to nominate if you are Chacharak. Just behave. I'm nominating Peggy Khatebe, Sherin. Must behave.
Is there a seconder for the nomination?
Yes, I second Sherin Kweza.
Thank you, Mr. Kweza. Any other nominations? In the absence of any other nominations, Mr. Khatebe, you've been duly appointed as the acting chairperson for the session. Thank you. You may take the chair.
Thank you very much, Secretary, and thank you very much, colleagues. I'm sure by now we have all received the agenda for tonight's meeting. Just as a way of a preamble, we are dealing with the Municipal Systems Amendment Bill. We all know by now that this bill was initially amended on the 5th of July, 2011. Subsequent to its amendment on the 23rd of Jan, 2013, some will launch a court challenge on the basis of the bill being tagged incorrectly. The second aspect of their challenge was that Section 56A of the bill was unconstitutional, and in some instances they felt that it has limitation on political rights. Subsequent to that, the court ruled in favor of some on only one aspect, the aspect of tagging, and therefore the bill was declared unconstitutional. The legislator was given 24 months to rectify the issue of tagging. So we're here today as per the actions that transpired in terms of the bill being tagged incorrectly. We've held several engagement with stakeholders. The only outstanding aspect was that COGTA was going to give evidence as it relates to their submission in terms of limitation of political rights. I think before we proceed, we need to double check and verify with members present whether or not this meeting is duly constituted. In terms of members present, Honorable Hadebe is present. Gisela Opperman is present. Honorable Hussein present. Trying to scroll down. Kenyuem Kalipi present. Honorable Kaya Keza present. And Honorable Hunevald present. Is there any other member or that I'm leaving out, colleagues? Honorable members, are there any other members that I did not mention as being present in the meeting? Nkosi Luthuli, present. With those members, colleagues, I think the meeting has been duly constituted. I see DM Tawu is also present. From SALGA, Babustofile is also present. Babustofile, can you just give an indication in terms of your delegation, who else is present? I see Lance. Can I give over to you just to confirm the attendees from SALGA?
Yes, thank you very much, Chair, and greetings to the DM and members of the committee. It's myself and Lance that are present. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. From the National COGTA side, I see the Honorable Minister. She's present. Honorable Minister, over to you. Can just confirm from your side who else is with you? Honorable the Minister, Mama Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma. DM Tawu.
Thank you, Chair. Just to confirm that the DG, DTG and Chief Directors are available, to the best of my knowledge, will be making the presentation.
Okay. Can you just confirm with other colleagues? I think the Honorable, the Minister.
I can't hear you, Chair. Hello. What's going on
here? See, Mu's having a problem. Not you, Minister. I can hear you. Peggy, come back.
Oh, okay.
Sherin,
can we get one of the other members to take over while we wait for Mr. Hadebe to reconnect?
Thank you very much.
Where's Mama Mkiza must take over?
Kalipi must take over.
No, take it, you think. Take it.
No, I think I also have a bit of an unstable connection, so that's why I'm afraid to cause the disruption.
Okay, let me take over now until Peg is back. Minister, can I give you an opportunity?
First, let me just say sorry for joining a bit late. I was just finishing another meeting. And let me greet the honorable members, the deputy ministers, the officials. And I think the team is here to talk about this legislation. As you know, this legislation was challenged in court and was then sent back. But it was challenged on a number of areas, but the court only dealt with the taking of the legislation. So it came back and it is now correctly tagged. But the issues that were it was taken to court for, particularly the restriction around the manager's holding office in political parties, was one of the issues that was in contention, but the court did not pronounce on it. But I won't take too much time because the team is here to deal with the nuts and bolts of the legislation. We are hoping that this legislation can go through amongst the legislation that are urgent, because it is a bit unstable to use the old legislation when we had already started using this one before the court struck it down. Thank you, Honorable Chair of the moment, Honorable Mkalipi.
Mm. Thank you very much, Minister. Thank you very much for your guidance. So I think that the department must take over now. Who's that now? Please, if you are not speaking, please mute your mic until the chair recognizes you. Who is going to take us forward in terms of the department?
Good evening, Minister and Deputy Ministers and Chairperson. It's the DG from DCOC speaking. With me present, I have Mr. Teboho that will be taking us through. So if I could just ask that he then begin the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, DG. DDG, Teboho.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you, Minister, Deputy Ministers, and Honorable Members of Parliament. I am to make a presentation in relation to the rationale of the limitation of political rights of municipal managers and managers accountable to municipal managers. I will not deal with the background in totality, but safe to indicate that clause 5 of the amendment, as indicated in the proposed amendment bill, defines the limitation of political rights as the position of a chairperson, deputy chairperson, secretary, deputy secretary, or treasurer of the party nationally or in any province, region, or other area in which the party operates, or any other position in the party equivalent to the position referred to above, irrespective of the type of designation to the position. So when we talk about the limitation of political rights, we are only referring to those particular positions in a political party. Now we'll start on slide 6, honorable members, on the policy intent of the limitation clause. Why did we as a department propose this particular limitation clause? One, it was to make sure that we depoliticize the municipal administration and we prevent the political infighting from getting in the way of service delivery. that the fact that there is there was prior to us amending this in 2011 was the issue of infighting and politicizing local government administration. The second one was therefore making sure that even though there is that particular limitation, but any other senior manager who is applying to become a municipal manager or a manager accountable to a municipal manager is not necessarily prevented from any political activity in a party, but only restricted to the positions as explained. And in instances that a particular potential senior manager wants to apply for a position, once the person becomes successful, it is an expectation that the person resigns from those positions as outlined. It was further intended to affirm and strengthen the democratic and administrative accountability as enshrined in the constitution of the local government administration. In that, it will give effect to democratic values and principles governing public administration to promote the following: a high standard of professionalism, professional ethics must be promoted and maintained, services must be provided impartially, fairly, equitably, and without bias, public administration to be accountable. And all this will be achieved in the event that the proposed limitations will be put into effect. On slide 7, we are indicating that as matter stands, it is clearly accepted that political interference in municipal administration is one of the factors that hampers effective and good service delivery and the well-functioning of municipalities. And by this, the proposed amendment, it intends to limit this political interference in municipal administration, in that it does give a differentiation between the functions of a senior manager vis-a-vis the person who will then be holding two positions, that of a senior manager in the municipal space and also having a senior position in the municipality. Since local government, since the advent of democratic local government in December 2000, when we had the new local government dispensation, there has been some achievements that led to quality service delivery being rendered to communities. And we want to maintain the status quo by going further and professionalize local government. In the event that we do not do so, we run the risk of us losing all the gains that we had since 2000. So one of the issues that we put forth is to see to it that limiting political rights will continue to make sure that service delivery is delivered to communities. The context in which we included this amendment, as in slide 8, was to make sure that we have good and even satisfactory practices that are to be institutionalized, and it should not be dependent. The system should not be dependent on certain leaders and individuals or personalities, but the system itself must be such that it is good and even, and it resonates in the good services being rendered to municipalities. The whole process of us putting this particular suggestion is to make sure that we do away with this duplicate foundation of corruption and criminal activities in municipalities as a result of having people of a particular influence in a particular political party, bringing that influence in the administration of a municipality. So that's the intention also of having this particular proposed amendment. It is accepted that corruption and nepotism and lack of accountability is as a result of people holding these double positions, that of senior positions in government and senior positions in a political party. And that creates a problem when it relates to public confidence in relation to local government. So in order for us to bring confidence back, we propose that this particular limitation should be implemented. Now, honorable members, honorable minister, our proposal was influenced by two reports. One report was in relation to the report called the State of Local Government in South Africa, Overview Report, National State of Local Government, Assessment October 29. And in this report, three issues came out very strongly. There was an issue that relates to governance, and in governance, it showed that there was a series of political infighting, conflict between senior management and councillors and human resource management issues. So that came very strongly in the report. The second one was the inadequate revenue collection, ineffective financial systems, fraud, misuse of municipal assets as a result of that, of this high politicization in local government. The third one was in relation to service delivery, that is the quality of services were compromised as a result of high politicization of the administration in local government. So in response to this, after this report, OCTA then came with what we call local government turnaround strategy in order to address these particular issues. And part of this particular turnaround strategy was the bill that was then introduced and made into law in 2011 to see to it that we depoliticize the local government administration. Now this bill, on slide number 10, this bill intends to prescribe minimum requisite skills, experience, and competencies and qualifications for senior managers, regardless of political affiliation. This bill intends to set the criteria and procedure for the appointment and discipline of senior managers. It seeks to achieve a greater separation between political and administrative interface by prohibiting senior managers from occupying key positions in a political party, as already indicated in relation to the explanation of what do we mean by political office. It also places restrictions on the re-employment of staff members who have been dismissed for misconduct. So this particular bill, in all its other proposed amendments, seeks to come with a well-targeted, evidence-based legislative measure to see to it that we professionalize and depoliticize local government administration. The second report that influenced the proposed amendment is, in particular, the limitation of political rights, is the report that was conducted by the University of Cape Town Community Law Center in 2009. And the findings in two ways implies the following, that the findings of this particular research shows that where a municipal manager is a political office bearer, outranking the councillors, the former accountability relationship to the council is nullified. The office bearer, municipal officer becomes the master of the council because he or she is politically senior than councillors and mayors who should be exercising oversight over the senior manager. The second one, where legally prescribed accountability relationships are disregarded, it has the demoralizing impact on both councillors and staff, meaning that in instances where there is no prescription in relation to what should happen between the political and administrative interface, the relationship between the councillors and staff, in particular senior managers, become very, very, very blunt and negative. On slide 12, Honorable Minister and Honorable Members of Parliament,
do you have a presentation that you can fly it on the screen? Because the members are going to struggle to follow your presentation, Baba.
I have requested Shireen from Parliament to fly the presentation, and you are on slide number 12.
Okay. Members, do you see the presentation? I see it on my side.
Yes, we do, Chair.
Okay.
Yes, we can see it now. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. And we then looked at the prevailing circumstances in South Africa and abroad to see whether what we intend proposing could be found anywhere else. And we looked at the Public Service Act, and even though in the Public Service Act, the limitation of political rights is not expressly indicated in the Public Service Act, but it gives limitation as far as it relates to the freedom of expression, as it relates to participation in meetings, publication, and public speeches. So there is some sort of limitations in the Public Service Act. In addition, in the Code of Conduct, which forms part of the Public Service Regulations, it provides that a public service employee may not abuse his or her position in the public service to promote or prejudice the interests of any political party or interest group. So this, in our view, is also restrictive on the rights that are there of members of the public service. The purpose of the prohibition on political activity by civil servants is generally seen as promoting partiality of the public service as mandated in the Constitution. So even in the public service, there is that particular restriction. We also looked at other statutes on slide 13. And in this slide 13, we realized that also in other areas, there are, for example, members of the South African Police Services, members of the Municipal Demarcation Board, the Public Service Commission, and the Independent Commission for the Remuneration of Public Office Bearers are all prohibited from holding political office. So it is not something new that we are proposing. And we are taking cue also from international benchmarks that is in Canada and the United Kingdom, and also in the US, where officials in certain categories, including local government, were restricted in terms of the political participation. Now, the second and last portion of my presentation relates now to the rationale of this particular limitation. We are now giving a legal argument. After giving the background, after giving the rationale, we are now giving the legal background why we think this limitation is within the prescript of Section 36 of the Constitution. Clause 5 of our proposed amendments restrict the right. The use that needs to be determined is whether the restriction can be justified in terms of the criteria set out in the limitation clause of Section 36. Now, Section 36 of the Constitution says the rights of the Bill of Rights may be limited only in terms of the law of general applicable, to the extent that the limitation is of important, reasonable, justifiable in an open and democratic society based on human dignity, equality, and freedom, taking into account the following factors: the nature of the right that is to be restricted, the importance of the purpose of the limitation, the nature and extent of the limitation, the relation between the limitation and its purpose, and of importance, the less restrictive means to achieve that particular purpose. Now, on slide 16, we are looking at the inquiry of whether the issue that I have said in the previous slide fit or suit the constitutional test. It is whether or not the limitations placed in the constitutional political rights by clause 5 of the amendment are justified depends on an analysis that has to be made in relation to it qualifying in relation to Section 36 of the Constitution. Now, I've already indicated that the issues that are there are issues that will then make us to make a determination whether we are on the right track or not. When you go to slide 17, we are looking at what is the nature of the right that we want to restrict. There is no doubt that this particular right that we want to restrict is the right that is enshrined in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. But when we restrict that particular right, will it serve the purpose that we want to achieve? Our submission as a department is that yes, it will serve the purpose, but the purpose is for us to have a professional local government administration. And in that, the purpose of the bill is to improve the quality and capacity of local government to provide services to the public, which is of utmost importance, and this is of extreme importance. This goal is inconsistent to the Constitution. Now, there is this right that is enshrined in the Constitution, and there is this intended purpose that we want to achieve of improving the quality and capacity of local government to provide services to the public. In our opinion, in our submission, we say this particular purpose right outweighs those limitations that we are going to put in senior managers. The second portion is that it is important to prohibit holding political office because of the conflicting pressures that this places on individuals. That because of this impact of the public perception that public administration are highly politicized, that perception can be removed once we limit political rights of people who are holding senior positions in municipalities. Now, the nature, as I've already indicated, the nature and extent of the limitation as we are proposing it it only applies to certain positions in the parties I've already indicated. They senior managers and managers accountable to senior managers can participate in political activities, and they can hold political office except the ones that I've indicated in the definition of what is political office. It only applies to the category. We have already last week had a presentation by SALGA, where SALGA indicated that what has happened since 2011, it is proper that we also extend this to other staff members in the municipality. So this argument that I'm bringing forth also applies to other staff members in the municipal space. It does not, the limitation itself does not impact on the right to join a political party or hold positions that falls outside the definition that, as I've already indicated. The last one is it does not prevent the holder of a political party from applying to be a senior manager. They can apply, a chairperson, secretary can apply to become a senior manager, but what should happen thereafter? Upon their confirmation of appointment, they should then resign from those particular positions so that we can depoliticize the position. The relationship between the limitation and its purposes I've already indicated. It's our submission, rightful submission, therefore, that this particular purpose is more, it will be more achieved than looking at the enshrined right that is given to individuals in the Constitution. The last portion that is of most importance is this particular line that we are taking of restricting certain, restricting and limiting political rights of senior managers. Is it whether it is less restrictive to achieve our purpose? Is there any other lesser incursion that you can put forth to see to it that this particular right cannot be limited? Over the experience over years, and after this was enacted in 2011, it is our submission that this is the lesser excursion that we can have. This is a lesser restrictive measure that we can put in place to see to it that we professionalize local government administrators. As a result, the fact of the matter is that even though this is dealt in a differentiated approach as it relates to positions in the political party, our intention is to see to it that the higher echelons of an administration becomes depoliticized so that it serves its purpose. Secondly, municipal managers, as already indicated, are not prohibited from occupying other various executive committees in political parties. So this limitation is rational as it relates to the purpose that we want to achieve. It is less intrusive, it is less incursion in relation to the rationale that we are basing to achieve professional local government and administration, and in particular for us to have quality services to communities. On slide number 20, when we do the evaluation, we looked at other options and what are the arguments for and against. And there were arguments in relation to why don't we only restrict this to office, the limitation of rights as it relates to a particular party in a particular area. Our case is that will not serve the purpose because the influence that will be there will also get into space when certain decisions are to be taken, especially in relation to the awarding of tenders and so on. The noise purpose is to see to it that it is the senior management in municipalities are clean of any influence whatsoever, so that the prohibition of holding political office does not result in conflicting pressures that it places on certain individuals when they execute the administrative responsibilities. As a result, honorable members, honorable minister, our submission is that the limitation is proportionate to the purpose for which it is enacted. We have been supported on slide 21. We have been supported by the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor that indicated that when considering the factors mentioned in Section 36 of the Constitution, it is our opinion that the limitation of the political rights of municipal managers and managers directly accountable to them is reasonable and justifiable under the circumstances. That is the view of the Chief State Law Advisor. And we also take cue from the National Planning Commission that indicates that the current approach blurs the lines of accountability between party and state. And we are responding to that we are now trying to clear the gray area and the lines between the state and the political party so that professionalization of the public service and greater separation between party and state is achieved. And this also suggests that a growing recognition to the need that brings clearer demarcation between the administrative and political interface in the public service and also in local government administration. Our recommendations, therefore, honorable members, honorable minister and DM, is that we recommend the portfolio committee take note and consider the rationale that we have put forth, indicating that it is reasonable and justifiable that we limit the rights of senior managers in municipalities. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Now our acting chair is back. Chair Peggy, please take over from now.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Mkalipi. I had suspected this coup d'etat. Immediately when I started chairing, I was cut off. That's not the right answer. No, colleagues, thank you, DDG, for the presentation. Colleagues, I will now take this opportunity and call upon our state law advisor, Ms. Yolanda, to give us a perspective in terms of whether or not what has been presented by the department will meet the legal scrutiny in terms of constitutionality. Ms. Yolanda?
Good evening, Chair, Honourable Chairperson, members, Minister, Deputy Minister. Chairperson, I've listened to DDG and I completely agree with everything that was said. As the DDG indicated, we've already provided an opinion on our view as to whether Section 56A would pass constitutional muster. And we are still of the view that even if it is applied across the board to all the employees, that it will still pass constitutional muster because of the purpose that it serves, to professionalize the local government and to make it free from political interference. So, yes, Chairperson, we still have that same view. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Yolanda. So, colleagues, as things stand, the bill, when it was initially passed in 2013, the limitation of political right only extended to senior managers. And now the proposal from both SALGA and the department is that it should be extended to all employees. Is that correct?
You're asking the DDG, ne?
Yes, I'm asking confirmation from the DDG. As I joined the meeting halfway. DDG?
Thank you, Chairperson. We indicated that that SALGA proposed this particular limitation to be extended to staff below senior managers. And we are saying that we are in support of that because the same argument that we're bringing forth for senior managers resonate with the relevance of what we want to achieve in relation to public professional local government. So we support SALGA in particular instance.
Okay. So, colleague, we've heard what the department, SALGA, and all other stakeholders who participated prior. It is incumbent upon ourselves to interact with the resolutions. We were required in this meeting as well to attend to the amendment clause by clause. So I will be guided by the meeting as you interact with the presentation from SALGA on how do we move forward in terms of addressing the matter. Can I see by show of hand colleagues that would want to interact?
Hussein.
I see Honorable Brink and Honorable Hussein will be the first one, followed by Honorable Brink. Who else wants to interact?
Opperman.
Opperman. Is that all?
Yes, Chair.
All right. Honorable Hussein, over to you.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I just have two very quick matters to raise. The first one is, as a matter of principle, we support the view that the department has taken to extend the limitation of political rights to all employees, so we welcome it. We've put that on record previously. I just want to ask just one question, please, which I raised at the previous deliberation. In respect of the provision in the bill for employees who, or existing employees who already hold political office, and that will there be some sort of phasing in or phasing out period to allow that that specific clause to take effect over a period of time, for as long as it's not, you know, 10 years. But I'm not sure whether the department has any comment on it or whether they've made any provisions to that. And then lastly, Chair, may I suggest, with your permission and the guidance of the rest of the members, that we don't deal with the clause-by-clause adoption today, that we try and do it at the next meeting, and that will be the sole item, which shouldn't take too long, when Mutambi is back, if you're satisfied with that proposal. Thank you. That's all I have.
Bearing in mind that the next meeting is tomorrow.
Yes, that's also fine.
Okay, cool. Honorable Brink.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, I was also going to say it's the clause by clause usually takes some time. Chair, you would remember that you and I, when you were not the chair, raised the issue of the definition of political office bearers, because you know, you can get co-opted onto executive committee, and then you're not the chairperson, the deputy, the secretary, the treasurer, but you can still be the political boss on that committee, and then it defeats the purpose. So I think that before we go into the clause by clause, maybe we want to think about that, and as well as a 6 months or so period for the other clause to be suspended to give people an opportunity to get their things in order. As Honourable Muslim said. Thanks, Chair.
All right, thank you. Honourable Opperman.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable Brink covered me now. Will we go into the limitation of political rights now?
Yes.
Then I just want to say I fully support Salga's recommendation to extend the limitation to all municipal employees, so the lines between the state and party can finally be cleared. And there's more than sufficient evidence over the last 20 years for the minister to justify this limitation and to prove also that this limitation is the least destructive way to achieve the main purpose, which is stabilization and professionalization of local government and depoliticizing the local government space so that service delivery can continue unhampered and public confidence can be restored. So I just want to say that I support Salga's recommendation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you, honorable members. As of, honorable Kaza, are you?
Yeah, one bite, Chair.
Okay.
No, very much. I concur with the members, Chair, of the committee. Ours is to submit that we truly appreciate and welcome the SALCA report, presentation in terms of professionalization of municipality, because we all agree that from time to time when we get presentations and get municipalities here, even at SCOPA, at the level of SCOPA, we that municipality are truly in crisis, Chair. So my only question would be from the DDG, how would the limitation then give rise to the required skills in rural municipalities, and how would this be attracted in that space? Thank you very much.
Question. I know that I said I'm not going to engage.
Proceed, Honorable Khalifa.
Thank you very much. I just want to get clarity from the department or from the political leadership that is here in front of us. And I remember, Chair, we've been engaging on this matter for quite some time now. And we are very happy with the progress that is made by the presentation by the DDG. But now I'm just thinking loud. Also, I think we must talk frankly here, including the minister and deputy ministers, because we all want to see the progressive municipalities. Because if there is no service delivery, we all get affected. It's not a certain political party that gets affected. So now, therefore, we are agreeing with this approach, with these proposals that is
also amended by the SALGA in terms of getting our municipalities to function properly and to do away with political interference. The main thing, Minister, that we have objected to for a longest time is the political deployment. So now does Vention also going to address that interference of political deployment? Because my understanding of this act or this amendment bill that it's trying to do is to make sure that we don't participate in our political parties. And then at the same time we're claiming that...
Honorable Kalipi, just a minute. There's a participant by name of G.O. I think his or her mic is on. Can he mute? He's breathing heavily and it's interfering with the audio. Who is G.O., colleagues? Still not muted. Andile, can you assist and mute the participant?
There's no such participant from our side.
Unmute yourself.
Okay. No, proceed, Honorable Mkalipi. I'm receiving a terrible feedback on my side. Proceed, Honorable Mkalipi.
Okay, thanks, Chair. I just wanted to get the view of the Minister on the issue of political deployment because it does affect us. We'll talk here because we have to talk very frankly here as activists, as members of this portfolio committee, because we're also coming from different political parties. For instance, let's say in one region, let me make an example of Etekwini region. A certain political party is in charge of the Etekwini region, and other small political parties are not in charge. We know that there are political appointments that are, there is no processes that are followed in terms of advertisement in the municipalities. We just sit down in a certain office and say that, we are deploying Comrade Dukbeki to that office. And also that one, it demoralized people very, very, very bad. So if you want to address this situation now through these amendments, how are we going to, is this amendment going to address all those challenges in a local government? Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Is there anyone who still wants to have a bite on the matter? I think the participant is Giselle Opperman, the GO.
Giselle.
Yes, I've just identified her. If there are no other inputs, before we give to the department to respond, I also have several questions that I'd like to get clarity in relation to the issue of 14 days that the province is given to have an input, and the both the proposal from SALGA and the department sticks to 14 days, and it further says that if the province fails within 14 days, then the minister is also required to intervene. But in terms of the current proposal, there is no indication at what stage will the minister be informed, so that the minister can be in a position to monitor whether or not there has not been action taken by the provincial government. You would recall in terms of the current amendment, which is subsection 9, it requires that the minister intervene. But subsection 7 only states that the municipal council must inform the MEC. There is nowhere within the clause where it indicates at what point is the minister expected to be informed. So I'd like to get an understanding at what point in terms of the act will the minister be informed so that he can be able to track whether or not the MEC did not adhere to the 14 days as per the prescribed legislation. The second aspect of which what Honorable Brink has indicated, it's the issue of, I think it's Honorable Hussein, those who are already within the employment. When you look into the legislation, it says once this amendment takes effect, it does not apply to those who were employed. It only going to apply to those that will be employed after the act has taken effect. I'd like to get an understanding, a sense, whether or not both the department and SALGA will still maintain the current proposal as per section 56A2, which states that this section does not apply to a person or person already employed as MM or managers directly accountable to the municipal manager. Once this act takes effect, what will happen to those already employed and who holds political office bearer? Because we all know that some of these politicians, when they become office bearers, some of the term of office is 5 years, and they are also eligible for re-election. So what will apply to those, what will happen to those who are part of the employment? The other aspect that I would like to get an understanding or clarity on is the definition of a political office bearer. That's one of the aspects that SAMU was challenging in court. If we can get a sense and understanding, are we sticking to the amendment as it was when it was adopted in 2011? Those are the few questions that I would like to get clarity. DDG, over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think there are about two or so that I will respond to. Honorable Hussein and Honorable Hadebe with an H, the issue relating to the existing staff members who are in the employment of municipalities come to the effect of the legislation. We will, as a department together with SALGA, sponsor what you call a transitional clause. The transitional clause that will deal with how we are going to handle staff members who are already holding political office. But as honorable members have already indicated, that this transitional clause cannot be all ending. There must be a stage where this particular arrangement comes to an end in relation to us cleaning any other person who holds political office. So we will develop a particular clause that in law we call a transitional clause. The second issue in relation to the definition of political office, I think there should be some sort of a discussion at length as to whether we broaden the definition of political office to include certain positions. But whether if we broaden it very widely, will it not defeat the same argument that we have, that the intrusion should not be in a way that it does not fall short of supporting the purpose that we want to achieve? Because the over-restriction of political rights of individuals will have to be clearly explained, but we'll have to look at the definition. We need to look at that so that there is a clear and there is no ambiguity in relation to the definition that relates to that. The issue of Honorable Teza on whether this particular exercise of limitation of political rights, will it then give us an opportunity to have to attract suitably qualified personnel in rural and small municipalities? The proposal is that the minister, once the minister has got empowerment by the empowering legislation, the minister will then have to develop regulations that will look into municipalities being able to attract suitably qualified personnel. That relates to the qualifications, that relates to some sort of special allowance that has to be given to those people, that relates to also the relaxation in relation to rural municipalities, as most of or some of the CW, the experience that we had since 2011 is that you need to have some levers that will assist municipalities to attract suitably qualified personnel. So in this particular instance, we will then, once this has been enacted, the minister will then have to put forth regulations that will respond to that issue that has been given by Honorable Kaiser. On the 14-day period, remember in May, when we were here on the 28th of May, Deputy Minister, prior to the Deputy Minister, Tau explained the scenario in relation to the reports, the 14-day period. And we have agreed that we are not necessarily married to the 14-day period, so that we allow provinces to prepare their reports and to submit to municipalities, submit to MECs, and MECs also to have ample time to prepare and submit to the minister. So we will have to look at how we reformulate the time frames of reporting from the municipality to the MEC and to the minister. I think those are the ones that I think that in my purview, and my political principles will then elaborate on the other issues.
DDG, we are expected to finalize the amendments tomorrow. I'm not too sure when you're saying you will have to look into the matter. The issue of 14 days, remember the subsection 9 of the clause says the MEC, when he fails within 14 days, then the minister can intervene. But in the Act, it does not prescribe how long should the minister take in his or her intervention, and at what stage will the minister become aware so that he can monitor the work undertaken by the MEC. So we are expected to finalize all these inputs and contributions by tomorrow. I'd like to get an understanding when you're saying you will have to look into it. We do not have time, we're running out of time. You would recall that this amendment ought to have been finalized last year already on March 2019. Same applies to the issue of political office, your definition. We were hoping tonight we'll interact with all proposals and so that tomorrow we finalize everything.
Chairperson, taking into account the proposal has been made, when, say, if tomorrow we are going clause by clause, we will have sponsored the transitional clause that we will put forth to the House for deliberation, and we'll also be sponsoring tomorrow the proper or the required definition of political office bearers, which should also be putting forth. And lastly, the 14-day period. We will sponsor those three clauses.
Including 56A subsection 2, that states that this section does not apply to persons already in an employment.
Yes, that's what we call the transitional clause.
Yes. So yes. We need to be also finished with that transitional clause so that we understand whether or not it will be incorporated in the amendment.
Yes.
Would you like to give to anyone from your department before we call upon the minister and the DM to engage?
Chairman, I'll just ask one question before you hand over.
Okay. Honorable Hussein?
Thank you. Chairperson, I just wanted to understand exactly what the DGG meant when he says sponsoring a transition clause. Is it going to be that there would be a phasing in or phasing out period, or is it going to be that existing political office bearers, the bill won't affect them, or the act won't affect them?
DDG?
What we mean is that we will then develop a clause. Remember, the Labor Relations Act deals with such matters in relation to the phasing out, not the phasing in. So the transitional clause will make provision for when will the people are already in the system, when will they be allowed to be continuing to occupy this political office positions in a political party. Because we cannot in law put a clause that says as of the enactment of this, then this comes to an end. There should be a transition that has to be to take place. So we'll put that, and as I've already indicated, we'll put this clause in a way that it does not prolong the existence of what is happening now in relation to people who are already in the sector who are holding political office.
Sorry, Chair.
Honorable Hussein, are you covered?
Sorry, yes, I was saying I'm satisfied, Chair. Thank you.
All
thank
right. You. Do you want to sorry, make a honorable case?
Sorry, Chair, I'm afraid that we might be leaving something from what you have just said with regards to the people that the limitations having to apply to members of the municipality, the staff of the municipality, and also not apply to the people that are already there. I'm worried there is no indication of the skilling of those people that are already there that do not qualify. I'm worried that we will be, if people do not have, like I have raised the question of skills, the lack of skills in rural municipalities, then if we leave those skills like that without being looked at in terms of the upskilling to those who are in that rural municipality space, we would be leaving something very, very, very crucial behind and overlooking it, because then we will be promoting somewhat mediocrity and nursing it at the municipal space. I'm worried that there's nothing said about upskilling those that are already employed there, that the limitations will not apply to them, Chair. Thank you.
DDG?
Chairperson, the skills gap in local government is addressed in another platform. In instances where we are of the opinion that based on the report that we receive from the skill system that we have in place now, that there needs to be capacity building, there are initiatives that have been put in place to see to it that these people are skilled so that they can then execute the mandate of us having quality service delivery to communities. So this exercise is ongoing. We cannot put it in this legislation in relation to specifically what is going to happen. What we will do, we will then indicate in the minister's regulations that for a person to occupy this particular position, a person must have these requisite skills. And we have already started with identifying what should be the skill of all staff members in municipalities. And once that has already been finalized and the minister has signed off, we will then, once we realize that the person who is in the system, who is occupying a position already and does not have the necessary skill, that person will be given the necessary skill because the person is already in the system. And the competency that the minister is busy with at the moment will then identify what is the skill gap. We will look into it and we'll improve, and we will give support to municipalities to improve the skills that are already in the system. That we are already working on it, and it cannot be accommodated in this particular amendment.
Thank you, DDG. Honorable Minister, can I hand over to you?
I don't know whether DM Tao wants to say something before I come in.
Okay.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Minister. Just a brief comment. In relation to the matter of deployment, this bill specifically is not focused on matters of the practice of deployment. I think it would be a matter to be considered in line with the overall public administration legislation that the Parliament should process. But otherwise, this bill is particularly with regards to political office bearers assuming administrative positions in local government. Thanks.
Okay, there was a question, perhaps DM, I'm not too sure what is your take in relation to section 54A subsection 9, where it says when an MEC for local government failed to take appropriate steps in subsection 8, the minister may take steps contemplated in this subsection, and the issue of time. The question was, it only specifies 14 days for the MEC, but it does not specify at what stage will the a minister be informed. Because subsection 7 speaks to council submitting to the MEC only. I'm not too sure whether you will want to have a take on that and give that, and so that we apply our mind collectively, having informed by all views.
As indicated in our previous discussion on this matter, the idea of providing the 14 days is so that we do not have a situation where decisions are not made within a reasonable time for people to assume responsibility and to capacitate institutions in terms of management. And the provision is that if within 14 days, or at least after 14 days, the MEC has not processed a decision, it would of course be incumbent upon the municipality to request the minister to apply their minds to that decision. What we haven't made provision for is whether there is a prescribed time frame for the minister. But the idea is that we should try and ensure that the MECs meet the timelines. And this is born from experience. We have found that with regards to certain areas of appointments of senior managers, we need the concurrence of the MEC, that there are instances where this has not been done timeously. And that's impacted on the ability of municipalities to fill in critical vacancies. I'm not sure if I've covered all that you've raised, Chair.
Yeah. No, okay. Put it differently. Yeah. Shouldn't we then say in subsection 7 that the municipal council must within 14 days inform both the MEC and the minister, so that the minister can be able to track whether or not the MEC has acted accordingly? Because if we want things to be done within 14 days, if 14 days lapse, it means it will be another additional days before the minister can act. We might end up having to have another 14 days for the minister, which will eventually become 28 days.
I think that's something to consider without usurping the role of the MEC in this regard. So I think we can find a formulation that enables the MEC to apply their minds in the first instance. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Honorable Minister.
Thank you to the Honorable Members for all their input. I just want to maybe add to the question that Honorable Gazait asked about skills in the rural municipalities. I think even though it's not dealt with here, and the DDG has answered, I want to add the fact that the reason we are looking at having certain skills in the districts that can be shared by municipalities is that we are aware that some municipalities, not only that they don't have skilled people, but they can't attract them because they are so small. They are not able to either pay them, whether it's engineers or planners or whatever. So in addition to whatever what the DDG has said, the district development model also envisages having some shared as skills within the district, so that if there are no engineers in the municipality, there could be engineers that can be shared by some of the municipalities within that district. So it is just to add to the issue of skills. I think the issue that Honorable Kalipe raised, the DM has responded to, because this legislation does not replace how normal recruitment in the public service should be done, whether it's in the municipality or elsewhere. there are procedures that need to be followed. And if they are not followed, it's incorrect. It's not a matter of political deployment. It just means that people are not following the procedures that they should follow. And that should not be allowed, irrespective of which political party is doing it. I think on the other issues, the DDG has answered, and I think tomorrow, as he says, they will bring some formulation about what will happen to those who are already in positions, so how long it will take for them to then make sure that they come out of the political positions they are in. But otherwise, thank you very much, and we're grateful that you are hoping to finish this amendment tomorrow. Was I muted?
Yourself.
Sorry. You didn't hear me. I was saying that the district development model will also add to what the DDG has said through the shared services that we are hoping to get, because we are aware that some of the rural municipalities cannot even afford the skilled people, let alone can afford to pay them. And so some of those skills will be shared within a district. And that's what we want to do with the development model, until such time that every municipality can afford. But in the meantime, there can be shared services. On the political deployment, I don't think it's political deployment, Honorable Mukalib. I think there are processes and procedures on how to recruit people into the public service, whether it's in the municipality or in the other spheres. So people must follow those procedures. If they don't follow them, it is wrong. And I think the DM has already dealt with that. So I think I'll leave it at that, because the DDG has answered about the transitional clause that should be there to make sure that those who are already in place have a transition to also comply with this legislation. I think I'll leave it at that, and thank you very much for ensuring that you will deal with this legislation and go close by close tomorrow. We are very grateful for that. Thank you.
Thank you, the Honorable Minister. Colleagues, would I be correct to say we have reached consensus in terms of what the department, together with SALGA, has proposed? There are no fundamental opposing views to the latest amendment as proposed by the department, which in most instances, all that was also proposed by SALGA, the department is in agreement. We have taken into consideration all the other inputs submitted by different provinces. Where those views were not taken into consideration, a thorough discussion has been undertaken, and substantive views and suggestions were taken into consideration, because we are now required that we give over to the state law advisor to draft an amendment a list, which are called a list, for us to be able to go to clause by clause. So the state law advisor, will she be able to draft those amendments for us to engage on them clause by clause tomorrow? Can I just get an indication if all our inputs will be incorporated?
Thank you, Chairperson. I would actually be able to draft the A-list, but I propose that the A-list is drafted between myself and also the parliamentary legal advisor. I've got one little concern, so that the committee might just want to consider, which is this definition of political office. We must remember that the Municipal Systems Act currently has a definition for political office bearer. And we must just ensure, or the department must just consider it when they draft the proposed clause with SALGA, as the DG indicated, that there's no confusion between what is political office and what is political office bearer, because those are actually two distinct definitions. And yes, I actually wanted to just have the department's input on how they can draft the definition for political office so that there's less confusion between those two terms, because that's actually been a concern for me ever since the deliberation started, because people tend to refer to holding political office as being a political office bearer, which is completely something different. Yes, sorry for taking over that discussion, Jay. I just wanted to bring that also to the committee's attention. But with regard to your question on the A-list, I'm willing to draft one, as long as it's together with the department and also the parliamentary legal advisor, because I think we've all been part of this meeting, and I don't want to take the lead and then come up with a proposal that might be in conflict with all of them. So we can all sort of, you know, not sit together, but send emails and see how we can come agree to one A-list that we can present to the committee tomorrow. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. On that issue of political office bearer and political office, I think in terms of the definition, the political office bearer relates to the municipal structure, your mayor and the speaker. When you talk about political office, it's in relation to political party outside council, your chairperson, deputy chair, secretary, and treasurer, the top five of political parties. But the office, political office bearer, is in relation to the municipal structures within council. That is my understanding as per what is defined in the Municipal Systems Act. So I would like to just get a sense from you. Are you saying there are contradictions, or you see possible misinterpretation of the two?
Chairperson.
Hello? Colleagues, can you hear the state advisor?
No.
Okay. She has disappeared.
DDG, are you there?
Yes, Chairperson.
Yes, there's a proposal that in drafting the A-list, we interact with the state law advisor and your good selves, including the department legal advice team.
That's a very good proposal. We support it. We'll work together throughout the day tomorrow to see to it that we deliver. We will work together with the Chief State Law Advisor and the Parliamentary Legal Services.
Okay. So, colleagues, can I get an indication that there's consensus in relation to the proposed amendment, that what has been presented by the department is what is finding resonance with the members? As such, the
agency...
Yes.
Chair, maybe what, and I don't want to speak on her behalf, but I sort of got a gist of what she says. Maybe we must just look at the word again.
She's raising her hand.
Okay. But now that I have the opportunity, she can speak for herself, but maybe we must look, maybe call it rather party office bearer than a political office bearer to exclude any confusion. And then, Chair, the other thing is, I am really concerned that we must really look at the substance of the definition to make sure that even a person who doesn't have a Big Five position on an executive committee must be included. Otherwise, this exclusion becomes meaningless.
Okay. So as
thanks, Chair.
So colleagues, as things stand, the only outstanding clauses is in relation to the definition of political office bearer, vis-à-vis the political office. The second aspect relates to the transitional clause and the number of days where the municipalities ought to inform the MEC and the minister. And those will be ironed out tomorrow during the day when all parties with their legal advisors are dealing with the drafts. Is that correct, colleagues? Is that the correct summary? Yolanda, I see your hand is up.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, I lost my connection there while I was in the middle of my sentence.
Yes.
I just wanted to clarify where the confusion came in for me. I think last time with the meeting, Honorable Hussein raised the issue about the Big Five sitting on the the Executive Committee. Now, the problem is with the word Executive Committee, the term, that already causes some confusion, because if we look at the term political office bearer, it also refers there to an executive committee. The only difference is that term actually, as used in the political office bearer's definition, refers to the executive committee as contemplated in Section 43 of the Municipal Structures Act. So yes, that has got nothing to do with the political party. That is more within the internal structures of the municipality.
Yes.
But when we look at political office and when we consider expanding that, especially the B part, the paragraph B of the political office definition, we must just attempt not to use the word or the term executive committee specifically, because that now will cause confusion again. Unless we make it very specific which executive committee we are referring to. So if we look at the definition for political office, we might consider also using the word political in front of the word party, like if we look at paragraph A, for instance, where we only speak of the treasurer of the party. We could make that a political party or something to that effect, so that we just make sure that when we are referring to political office, we are referring to holding office in an outside political structure. And when we are going to refer to an executive committee, it will not be to the same executive committee that we are referring to in terms of the Municipal Structures Act, but that we are then referring to those Big Five members of the National Executive Committee of a specific political party. So that's what I meant. It's just sort of fine-tuning the definition so that we clarify the difference between political office bearer and political office, so that it's a bit more clear for all of us when we interpret this bill once it becomes enacted. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So, colleagues, the summary of the entire engagement is that tomorrow during the day, the legal advisors will meet. They will look into the issue of the political office vis-a-vis the political office bearers, as outlined in the definition of the legislation. We'll then be finished with the draft A list for us to interact and go through clause by clause.
I have a question, Chair, before you summarize.
Okay, you can come in, Honorable Minister.
Okay. I hear there's talk of the political party office bearers, meaning the five, but I also hear that some members are saying the entire political executive committee. So I'm not opposed to it, but I just want to know which one are we going with.
Perhaps, Minister, if I can assist, in terms of the current definition, it says the political office in relation to a political party or a structure thereof means the position of the chairperson, deputy chairperson, secretary, deputy secretary, or treasurer of a political, national, or in a province, region, or other areas in which the party operates. Any position in the party equivalent to a position referred to in paragraph A, irrespective of the title designated to the position. Now, that's the definition, yes, of a political office. the definition of a political office bearer, it says it means the speaker, executive, mayor, deputy.
No, you're not understanding my question, Chair.
Yes.
You have said what at the moment is in the draft about the top five position in a political party committee. But I heard, unless I was mistaken, that Mr. Honorable Brink is saying, and I think another person also said it, that it's not enough to look at the top, the chair, the deputy chair, the secretary, but you must look at the committee as a whole, even if the person is not in the
top five.
So I just want to know, I'm not opposed to it, but I just want to know which one then are we going with? Are we going with the five, with the top office bearers like chair, deputy chair, secretary, or are we going with the entire committee?
Okay. I get you, Honorable Minister. So I thought we were in agreement with the current proposal. So, Honorable Hussein, were you proposing that instead of describing political office limited to top five, you're saying the entire executive must be defined as a political office? Honorable Hussein, are you still there?
Yeah, Chair, I think it was Brink who made the suggestion, but
it was Honorable Brink.
But I raised... Chair. Yes, Honorable Brink.
If you read the definition as a whole, the second part of that definition is any similar position, regardless of the designation of that position. Now, if you read the top five plus any position, regardless, it might suggest that it excludes anyone who holds a similar position. But I think it would be better to get a clause that includes anybody on an executive committee, because I might be a co-opted or a special member of the regional executive committee and be an office bearer in a municipality, and I might be participating in the deliberations of that political party's committee, participating in its decisions. And then what have we achieved if I am not excluded from holding a municipal office? So I'm not a treasurer, I'm not one of the big five, but I'm a member of the executive committee. I participate in its deliberations, and then I'm a municipal official telling the mayor what he should do, because I might not have a fancy title, but in practice I participate in the deliberative or the executive management committee of that political party. If we limit it to the big five, I think we might risk creating a gap that makes this thing meaningless.
So is that the feeling of the portfolio committee, that the definition of political office should be extended to the entire executive committee?
Yes.
Not only to office bearers. Will that... I'm still on the floor, colleagues. You will behave... you will speak when you are noted. I just want to get a clarity. I'll open for another round for us to be able to reach consensus on this matter. The definition of political office in relation to political parties, is the committee proposing that we should extend it to executive committee, the entire executive committee, whether it's provincial, regional, or a branch level? As long as you are a member of an executive committee within that political party, you are therefore classified as a political office and you are excluded from participating in any position within the municipality. Is that the feeling of the portfolio committee? Can I see by show of hands? Honorable Kalipi, you first. Honorable Teza, Honorable Kruneval. Is there any other colleagues that want to have a bite?
Okay.
Those are three colleagues. Honorable Hussein. Honorable Kalipi, you're the first.
Thank you very much, Chair. Yes, I agree fully with that proposal that the entire committee, if you want to become the official of the municipality, you must not have any position in terms of politics in the community. We must totally, totally make sure that you are ubekwe nje or professionally ongaparticipate politically in any committee. I agree.
Honorable Kaza.
Yes, I concur, Chair, because some of the things that we have seen in municipalities, particularly when it comes to local municipalities here in Mpumalanga, is that a chairperson of the political party in the region, for an example, in the Gangalan region, will just influence the kind of the appointments of service providers within the tenders and so forth, and go further to influence the MMs and so that and in the process, Chair, then he destabilizes the running of the municipality, because then he comes from a political he does not serve in that municipality at all, but he just comes to influence because he's a senior to those managers, and those managers actually are timid of him because of that. And I think if we can get rid of that thing, we'll get rid of political interference, and we'll get a professionalized space of municipalities. Then we can judge it on that. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Clever.
President, Chairperson, I must agree with Honorable Brink. The broader definition will assist lots in people not circumventing what we want to put in place and what the objective is. And we can take notes, or we can take advice from the Companies Act as well, that says what is an independent director. So the broader definition will definitely assist. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, who's the next speaker? Honorable Hussein.
Yeah, Chair, I support the principle, because I think that it the point that Honorable Brink raises reinforces what we're trying to achieve with that particular clause. I just think that we need to give some careful thought to the wording, and I don't have a proposal for the wording at the moment, and perhaps maybe the department must spend some time on it. And my reasoning for it is simply this, is say, for example, you have a national spokesperson of the party, which is a fairly senior position in a political party. That person may or may not be a member of the national executive committee of that political party, but in essence, you know that that person holds a very senior political office. So although I'm not opposed to the proposal by Honorable Brink, which I think is the correct one, but we have to just get that wording right in a way that's a catch-all that covers the broad principle of what we're trying to achieve with that specific clause. So that's the only comment that I wanted to make. Thank you.
Thank you, colleague. I'm not too sure. Perhaps it's only me in terms of limitation, whether we're not stretching it too far. But I'm subject to advice by the legal parliamentary lawyers. I'm not too sure. Can we then get a sense? The proposal will be that the department will do all the drafts during the day tomorrow and forward to the parliamentary legal team and the department, so that by the time the meeting takes place, we have all seen the draft A list, so that we are satisfied when we attend the meeting that all the amendments and the proposed suggestion are taken care of. Can we move in that fashion, colleagues?
Yes, Chairperson, we can move.
All right. Is there anyone that would want to say something before we close? Cogta, covered.
Thanks, so covered, Chair.
Silence means consent. Okay. So thank you, colleagues. If there are no any other inputs or suggestions on the matter, we then are satisfied that we are going to meet tomorrow with a draft A list presented by all party concerned, the three advisors from the department, parliament, and the department. The meeting is stands adjourned. Thank you so much for your time, colleagues.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much, young man.
All right,
Chair. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, DM.
All right, Chair.
DM Papela, why were you hiding? DM Papela, you were hiding.
Minister, I joined the meeting a bit late, so but I did cover the ground in terms of what was said here.
Okay, I think I was asking, DM Papela, why did you join the meeting?
Welcome, DM.
Oh, no, Minister is still in. She's saying welcome.
Thank you very much, Minister.
No, benga bonangu chikona, bengonu dao.
Oh, yang juene 1 hour late. Yeah. Oh, 1:30 or 45 minutes late. Bengkuma gomu sangano. So, ngabe sing juene, ngabeng tola se ni answer my questions.
Okay,
Minister. Thanks.
No, gulungile.
All right, gulungile, man.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Another second.
Then
Kali to second.
I'm as good as a second, Anna.